located in New York. He is also an expert on Asian markets and doing business with them, and he joins us now on the business line. Hi, Amon.
Good
morning. How are you, sir?
Excellent. How are you?
Fine, thank you, and good to talk to you. Well, it's an interesting phenomenon how things work. What seems to be the most important news that you could possibly have suddenly goes away, and really without resolving anything for the most part in many instances. And the case with Indonesia. It was in the spotlight probably much more than it would like to have been up until just very recently, and now it has disappeared as though everything has resolved itself. And I know that's not true, so let me just ask you to update us on kind of current economic conditions and socio-political conditions in Indonesia.
George, that's an excellent observation. I couldn't have stated it any better myself. If you recall the events that have transpired or the developments that have taken place in the last few days have been right along the lines of what you and I last discussed on the mm-hmm. show. And it is interesting that the attention has not been on these issues as much as we would have thought. Like, the markets haven't been paying that much attention as mm-hmm. we would have expected, and the media, I think, have been caught up in other more exciting things.
Yeah.
But definitely the issue has not gone away. The problem is still there. As a matter of fact, it's more, I would say there's more simmering under the surface than we see above right now, and it still has the makings of a recipe for disaster if things aren't done right.
Where are they at this point in the ongoing arm wrestling contest between Indonesia, primarily Mr. Suharto, and the IMF?
Basically, like we discussed last time, my opinion had been that the IMF would not walk away, mm-hmm. and neither would it give them the money without any preconditions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's really a game of showmanship that's taking place, and both parties are trying to save face, but they also realize if either of the parties walks away from the table, it is a definite problem, and its implications and ramifications would go far beyond just the borders of Indonesia.
What has been the nature of this for Mr. Suharto's status or stature in Indonesia? Because just as an observer, it appears to me that for all the flack that he's taken for standing up to the IMF, there are certainly large groups around the world that believe that maybe he's stating the case accurately in many ways. In other words, the IMF has faced a barrage of criticism itself and has been in the spotlight again a lot more than it would like to be, mm-hmm. and maybe, in fact, has tempered how it goes about doing business a bit.
I agree, George. It's tough to be in the IMF's shoes because, on the one hand, they try to be pragmatic and mm-hmm. realistic and like to see express that they have, your long-term interests at heart,
mm-hmm.
and any pain that they are proposing that you undertake right now is going to pay off in the long run. So obviously it's today's pain that nobody wants to face, whether you're in Pakistan or India or Indonesia. The issue is always the same. People do not want to give up something now, especially if it's subsidies related to food and fuel and electricity and oil. And the IMF has a tough choice. I mean, if it's like being a doctor. If you have to give somebody a medicine with a bitter taste, what are you going to do? Like, you can sugarcoat it a little bit, but you can't just give them a spoon of sugar and say, this is going to solve your headache.
Has he though come off as someone who has stood up for Indonesia and faced down the IMF a bit, at least on a compromise with them some?
Yeah.
Or is he looking like a hard head that doesn't care what's happening? I mean, by his own people and the other countries in the region.
Yes and yes and no. Basically, the problem that we face here is that Suharto the problem with the leadership in that country mm-hmm. is that, the elections take place and the same person is in power for like 700 years, it seems.
A lot of questionable motives in any case.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
And so even if he had been, let's say he had been a ruler who had been elected 3 years ago for the first time,
right,
and if he was standing up, the stature of such a first-time leader standing up to the IMF or to the United States or to the entire whole world would be different from one who is considered hard-headed, dictatorial, and a one-man show in the first place.
And willing to play any game just to for his own ends. I wonder if he was the new head of South Korea, that would be a different story.
Absolutely.
What about the oil situation now? You know, OPEC getting together to cut back output and bring the price up, good news, but of course that means cutting back output. Does this play, though, into the hands of Indonesia? They probably, because of certain problems, have to cut back anyway. I mean, they're just not in a position to pump what they used to pump. They don't have the infrastructure together at the moment.
That too, and at the same time, I don't know what that would mean for the subsidies that they have gotten used to providing their people and the people have gotten used to getting. What the implications of that are would be a tricky subject to discuss.
And let's face it, nothing, you know, it's like under the heading of when things go wrong, am I right, Imran, that just when everything's going wrong, then oil prices basically have been plunging, even though they're back up a bit now. They're still at low levels, and that has to be a problem, problematic for Indonesia.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, the country has not really done anything to solve the fundamental problems that it faces in an ongoing way. They have not done anything which is a concerted effort to solve the problems. They have not shown a desire to solve those problems. They have, you know, they've made all the right noises, but in the long run, it will be 10 years later, and we'll be saying, didn't we go through the same thing in 1990 or 1998 or 2008?
So you are saying that, and there was Japan gets a lot of criticism that if it doesn't change, kind of systemically change its political situation, and it's not going to be able to make the changes it needs to make. I mean, that goes double and triple for Indonesia, and you don't think that they're getting down to that business, obviously.
If there had been a really popularly elected government in place which was answering on a day-to-day basis honestly to the people, then you could see there was some chance of happening. There is some unrest, there is that simmering going on, as I mentioned. What I hope not to see is a big explosion that would fix everything in the long run, but in the immediate future it would mean a lot of pain and possibly bloodshed.
Well, that's the problem too, a lot of social unrest when things are this dire, and they remain dire with am I correct, with, well, one write up in the Economist magazine recently said most of the Indonesian companies and banks are technically bankrupt.
They absolutely are, and there's no end in sight, because it's like a bubble waiting to burst.
We will talk more about it, Imran. If you have the time, we will always be happy to talk to you about it, and thank you much for joining us today.
The pleasure is always mine.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Imran Anwar, president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York.